The Lord, it's good to be here tonight. Thankful for the Lord giving us the opportunity to be with y'all. There's a lot of things. I can spend a lot of time up here just talking about what y'all mean to me and how much I enjoy your friendship and the love that we've shared, the fellowship we've shared over the years, but you know, that's not really why we came tonight, is it? We got something from the Lord here that he's put on our hearts for you, and we want to share it with you. We might start off turning, bowing our heads here and looking to the Lord. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity we have tonight. It's good to be together, but Lord, you're the one who takes this over the top, dear God. You're the one who makes this everything it is to us, dear God, and we're just praying by your Spirit. You would be with us here tonight. You would bless our time together. You would lead us and guide us through your word. You cause it to be exactly what you see it needs to be, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've had a burden to come here. It seems like the Lord's put on our heart for some time and just been waiting for the Lord to work out a good time for it to come. And thank the Lord, I believe he's done that for us and given us the opportunity to be here. So we want to talk to you about resolution, turning resolutely in a direction. I feel like the Lord's given us several messages that kind of come from that single thought, so to speak. I want to turn over here in Romans, the first chapter to start with, and read a verse to you. And we appreciate your prayers very much. We are very dependent on the Lord here tonight. It's always good to stop and think about how much we need him. So we need him here tonight with us for sure. So Romans, the first chapter, says, we'll just start with the eighth verse. It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And I'm just going to say, I agree with Paul here, except for he was speaking to the Romans and I'm speaking to you tonight. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. It's been a special place to me throughout my life, and I thank the Lord there's still saints here who love the Lord and want to keep on serving him. That's a blessing to me. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. Now, the word here, as we look at it, it says that ye may be established. I'm not sure exactly how long this congregation has been here, but it's been here a while, hasn't it? Seems like the Lord has established a work here, and thank the Lord that souls have taken heart and followed the Lord, and it's continued on, but you know, this word established, if you actually start looking at the Greek, it means something a little different than what we're thinking about as we see the word established. It means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. And this is the burden that the Lord has given us. I want to say that I come here without any thoughts beyond what God has put in my heart. I've learned from the Lord that it's very likely that if the Lord's having his way tonight, that he's going to put his finger on some things in our life. I want you to know that's all outside the realms of my understanding. But that's between you and the Lord. But I want to speak freely with you about what the Lord has put on my heart. This burden about turning resolutely in a certain direction is, I believe, an important one for us to consider. I believe that it's very easy to just kind of hang around, especially where something has been established. It's kind of easy just to hang around. And like I said, I don't know. This is what the Lord's put on my heart to share with you tonight. So I want to encourage us not to be someone who's just hanging around. You know, it's very easy to be a puppet. You know, people move in a certain direction. Puppets hang around. And some of the burden the Lord has given us specifically tonight is to take that thought and think about it for a minute. And I want you to once again be encouraged to move resolutely in a certain direction, but also to understand that if you are not moving in a certain direction, and of course tonight the burden that we have is that we move towards the Lord, that we with resolution look to the Lord and that we move towards Him, that we turn in that direction and we move with determination that that is the direction we are going in life. Because if I am not employing that, I don't know that there's not always been this way in the world, but if I'm not employing that kind of resolution in my life, if I'm just hanging around, well, there's a marionette that's got my number. There's a puppet master that has my number. There's someone whom I'm hanging from. There's someone who has a chance in my life to direct some things that are going on, and it's not God. If I'm just hanging around what's established, there's not, thank the Lord for being here, but there's a danger in what I'm doing. You know, to be resolute is to have a fixed purpose, to be determined, to be bold, to be firm, to be steady, to be constant in pursuing a purpose. This is what it takes if you are going to be established in the Lord. It takes resolution in your life, determination, boldness, steadiness. We could probably preach a message on each one of those words, but the world is not going to help you make this decision. You are going to have to make it. And I say that to the young person in Christ who has just chosen Him or is considering Him. The decision is going to rest with you. And if you do not make a decision, then the world will make a decision for you. And Satan will make a decision for you, because he will pull the puppet strings in such a way that he will move you, maybe not exactly where he'd like to take you, but he's going to keep you from going where you need to go. You are going to have to make that decision. And you know, if you're someone who's maybe a youth in Christ, who's been in Christ for a while, and you've been moving along, and you kind of reached a point where maybe those words aren't as firm as they need to be in your life. Maybe the determination is not as strong. Maybe the steadiness is not as there. Maybe the boldness is not as bold as it needs to be in your life to say, no, this is who I am and this is where I'm going. If it's not there, then you're giving space for Satan to pull some strings in your life. It's not a hard life living for God. It's not. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you have to be turned in that direction. And you're the one who's going to decide and is going to make that change, make that decision to make that change and set differently from what would have happened in your life if you're just hanging around. All right? It's easy to play the part of a puppet. It's easy. All you do is hang out. If the string over here moves this way, you just move with it. If the string over here moves this way, you just move with it. If the strings pull you a little bit with your feet and everything and you move over here, you just move with it. It's easy to do that. It takes some determination to cut those strings. But you know, I want us to understand, I hope I'm painting the picture correctly, that with the Lord, we make a decision to cut the strings and turn towards Him and to be determined to, in steadiness, boldness, and firmness and determination, move towards Him. And if we lack that in our life, that's the all in. You hear about going all in, talking about being hot for Christ. It's not all the words that you can possibly spew for Christ or all the works you can even do. It's the determination to serve Him in whatever facet that means in your life. That's being hot for Christ. All right, and you may not do anything externally that people see. They will see stuff. But I'm not talking about some great and mighty work. But if you are determined to serve the Lord in your life and you are determined to make your decisions for Him, then you are hot for Christ. You're warm. What is it saying in the Bible? I wish that you were. You're, You were hot or cold. Yes, that's exactly what it says, actually, isn't it? Sorry, it slipped my mind for a minute. That's what being hot for Christ means. That means being not lukewarm, but being determined to go in that direction. That's what it means. That determination there in your life. And if you're not willing to do that, if you're just expecting somehow the strings to move in the right direction and get you where you need to go, it's not going to happen. It's going to take that determination. You know what? If you're, God bless the saints, all the saints, but tonight, just a moment, those of you who are older and you have lived this way and you have been faithful, and those of you who have, know what I'm saying is right. That it's taken that determination in your life, and you know it's going to keep on taking it. God will go with you. If you have that determination, he'll be right with you. You will make it all the way to the end, but that's what it takes. I'm going with God all the way. And what's my part now? I know people get older and that begins to be a question. Sometimes they're, well, what's my part now? You know what your part is? See this thing through. Don't stop now. Do what you've always done. What you've lit our hearts up with encouragement by doing, by being faithful and being determined. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. And the word I was really looking for was on fire for Christ. That's what I was trying to bring out. You hear everybody talking about being on fire for Christ. And sometimes there's a lot of things that come with that. You know what that means? That means being determined to serve Him. Being turned resolutely in His direction. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. And we'll turn down here to the 24th verse. It says, servant of God, the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And this is the thought tonight. Those that oppose themselves. Do you know that if you're just hanging out, you're opposing yourself? You're opposing where your soul needs to go. The soul the whole time is saying, danger, danger. We need to get somewhere. We need to move towards the Lord here. The Lord's ahead. He's walking ahead. And we need to move towards Him. And if you're determined to not do that, that's too on fire. That's too different from what the world, yes it is, because the whole world is opposing itself as souls go, just hanging out expecting something to happen or who knows what. But if you're sitting here and not willing to take those steps to be determined, to step out, to be on fire for God, you're opposing yourself. And what's happening is that the devil is just going to come along and he's going to take you captive at his will. Because you're not moving where you need to go. You're not turned in the direction that you need to turn. You know, this world moves and changes, and you know, it's hard sometimes to keep your eyes on focus, and the world may spin you around, but if you're determined to keep your eyes on the Lord, you can do that. But it might take some movement on your part. In fact, I say that a little bit. It will take some movement on your part. It will take some determination to keep your eyes as the world's maybe tossed you into a somersault. You know, you can still keep your eyes on God. It's just going to take the determination to do that in the midst of what you're going through. Keeping your eyes on Him. And as soon as you, you know, one of my children, I won't, I'm determined not to name them out. Sometimes I slip up and I do. But there's one of my children who used to always remark, that however he could fall any situation, and it just seemed like all of a sudden he was up on his feet again, headed where he needed to go. You know, that's how we need to be. It's possible. It really is. Just because you've been knocked in some somersaults, you don't have to oppose yourself. You don't have to just lay there on the ground and wait for something to happen. You can come up and hit the ground running, turned in the right direction, going for God. And if you're not, you're opposing yourself. You're sitting there and woe is me and look what's happened to me in life and look at all these things. You're just sitting there waiting for Satan to start pulling some strings. You're sitting up waiting for it. He's going to come along. He's not going to let those things hang there very long. And he's going to be coming along. He says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for those things. And when he's got a chance, when you've hit the ground, something's caused you kind of knocked down for a minute, and you're just going to lay down and lay there for a minute, the string's still. Satan's thinking, I can come pick this up, and I could start moving it a little bit. Maybe I can't get a hold of all of them right now, but I can get a hold of this one, and I can start moving it how it needs to go. Get up! Turn resolutely in that direction you know to go, and head for the Lord. Don't give the devil that opportunity in your life to do that. You know, that's what's going on in the world. There's those who have turned to the Lord, are moving toward him, and there's the rest. Satan's managed to get his hands on the strings, and he's pulling them where he wants them to go. And those are your options in the world. That's the captivity that is out there. All right? You know, this word here, basically, this at his own will, his own determination, his choice, his volition. You know, those aren't things you need to give up to him. Those are yours. God gave you those. That's why he set you free. I'm going to talk about, have a verse here in the end about this. But that's why he set you free, so that you had that choice to move in his direction. Don't give it back to Satan. Don't give it back to him and let it start being his choice in life, what you do and how your hands move the way they move, or your heart, or whatever it is that you're moving and doing in life. Don't let Satan take that back over and let it be his choice, his whim, His determination, his boldness. Let it be yours. God set you free so you can make those choices and serve him and follow him and follow after the good things in life. You know, there's another way that we give him space. We talk about getting knocked down by things, but you know what? Sometimes we just play around with things. God's got us moving along, and we've turned in that direction, and we're heading towards him, and all of a sudden we're like, what's that? God, apply that the way it applies in your life, because I'm not going to get specific about that. But what's that? If you need a verse, kind of back this up, think about Peter on the water. Coming at you, Lord. Oh, wait a minute, what's that? He looked down at something besides Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. He looked at something besides Jesus. Do you know why? There's some pretty strict teaching sometimes, some pretty strict things that seems like come from the pulpit, because there's some pretty sneaky things that come along and just get you to go, what's that? You know, the strings are dangling. Strings are dangling. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there around and kind of play with that a little bit? I'm not leaving you, Lord. I see it there, but there's something here I'm just kind of interested in, and I'll be right on my way. You know, if it was just you and the Lord here, maybe that'd work out. But you know, there's a roaring lion. He's the one that's dangling those things over your side, because he's got that, and he wants to get you. Lord, help us. There's a reason why it's important, even when we don't understand it and when we can't just go black and white. It says it right there. Don't do that. You know what? God could have put, somebody told me the other day, said, you know, isn't it interesting that God didn't put, in 2024, you will be dealing with such and such and such and such and such and such. He could have put that here, y'all, but he didn't. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what we'd be dealing with. He knew what Satan would be dangling out there beside us and tempting us with and trying to draw our attention away from Christ. The Lord wanted a people who would follow him because they loved him and because he was the object of their affection. And when Satan puts something out here and tries to take that affection away, that's all it takes to get us in a position where he can begin to take us captive at his own will. That's why we must walk with the Lord. We must keep our eyes on him while we can't let this world turn us to the side. You know, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. You know, you pray for us. Says, 4th chapter in the 17th verse, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." You know, this word vanity means emptiness, basically. And I think of a lot of verses, and some we may bring up later and some of the thoughts that the Lord has given us, but I think about the verse that says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but he loses his soul? What that is alluding to is the emptiness that's in this world. You know, the attractions that are here, they're empty. Why are they empty? Because they hold no eternal worth, and they hold no eternal ability to heal anything inside of us. But yet they're all around us, and they're all there, and the world is walking in an emptiness because these are the things that they're taking in. And without the Lord, these are the only things we have to take in. It's just emptiness. It's vain. And we don't always think about it that way, because as we're walking through the world, and maybe somebody's got in a position where they've given themselves to those things, or there was a time in our life where we all gave ourselves to those things to one degree or another. We have this blindness about us that somehow this is what's going to make me happy, that somehow there's something to this. Why do we think that? Because there's something here besides us. There's somebody here selling us a bill of goods. It's not just the things, okay? It's the spirits that are behind them and the purpose that's there, because you can't sell somebody an empty bill of goods just based on the worth of it. But the world is walking in an emptiness, y'all. Don't be confused about it, because you walk out and they say, "Oh, but this is it. This is it." No, it's not. No, it's not. And you know, when you have something that's empty, but yet it's all you have, you want to try to promote it so much, and you want to try to make believe it's really something that's going to actually prove out to be of some kind of worth. How many times and sit there on a sinking ship of an investment somebody has, or some kind of program that's obviously just, I'm not talking about going through some rough times, but it's obviously failing. And just trying to, but no, it's the greatest thing since. It's going to work out. It's going to be okay. If the Lord's not behind it, it's probably not going to be okay. There's an emptiness to the way the world lives its life. That's not how we're to live. We have a purpose, a direction to turn in our life towards the Lord. We have something to do. The world just hangs out. We don't just hang out. We move towards the Lord. We move in His direction. We need a purpose here. You know, sometimes we can transition that over, and I know that this, a lot of times we think about it being maybe a sin or things like that, and yes, it involves all that, but there's an element here of just hanging out that I want us to understand. That's not how we do it in the Lord. We don't just hang out in Him. We pursue Him. He's not hard to catch when you really pursue Him. He's all about it. You draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. But there it is. You draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. You don't get there by just hanging out. You don't walk in emptiness and just, "Well, I'm just here." No, there's purpose. There's something to be won. There's something to be pursued. There's something to be had. And that we not walk in that emptiness, with the blindness in our heart. You know, the difference between a puppet and a real-life human is the mind to make their own choices. There's some other differences too, but that's one thing that's definitely different between a puppet and a human. All right? God came to give you life. He didn't come to make you a puppet. He came to give you life, that you would pursue after Him. He's not going to pull the strings. He's going to cut you free from them. Then you're going to decide to come after Him and to follow Him. It's a different way of walking. It's not done the way the world does things, okay? We pursue Him with all our heart. I was also a verse here in Ephesians, the second chapter, we wanted to get. It says, where in time past, the second chapter of Ephesians and the second verse, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The world was like, what? What are you talking about? Yes, that's what's happening. That's what's going on out there. That just hanging out that's happening, that's not what's really going on. There's a prince of power of the air. There's Satan who's got a hold of the strings that's moving things. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You walked according to the course of this world. The course of this world is the perpetuity. Somebody can help me with that word. It's perpetual motion of the world. Let me just say that. I can say that word a little easier. The perpetual motion of the world. All right? What's happening? I want us to take what we see in the Bible and bring it right on down to our age. And especially, I would say young people, but we all need to do that. The motions that we see and we read about that Paul dealt with, that's exactly what's happening still today. Still today, there is a prince of the power of the air that's in control of everything that's not under the Lord's hands. When the Lord said that the prince of this world cometh and he findeth nothing in me, that was something new. That was something that hadn't happened before now. And you know what? It's only through that man that we have a freedom, that we're not going to be under his control. We're going to have to follow that man Christ, Jesus, in his ways, or else we're going to be under that same power that was here back when Paul was dealing with these issues and trying to get them to understand that you can't just keep on doing what you've been doing. And you can't, besides just not doing what you've been doing, you can't keep living the way you're living, just to who you are and just kind of hanging out and whatever, you know. There's a purpose. There's a man to be followed named Jesus. There's a direction that we need to turn with our lives. If we get saved and we just hang out, we'll be like the in the Bible, the story of the man that swept his whole house clean and then it was just empty. And Satan came back around and said, well, okay. Well, let's come back and fill this house up with seven times worse. I think it was. This last state of that man was seven times worse than it was to start with. You can't get saved in Christ and just hang out and expect that things are going to work out for you. You're going to have to pursue him and come after him if you want to be saved, if you want to be successful in your walk with him. Because there's that puppet master out there who's got the strings. You know, in Romans here, the seventh chapter, some familiar verses I want to touch on. Seventh chapter, and this is talking about Paul's struggle. And I never want to enter this. Paul was not really detailing his struggle so much as he's detailing the struggle of mankind. All right? And he says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. In other words, the realization that there is a different life that I'm supposed to live. And me realizing that I'm not succeeding in it. That was put there for me to see that sin is exceedingly sinful, that Satan is what's at work in this world, that I can't just hang out here, that there's got to be something that changes my life. There's got to be something that I'm moving after. Sin is exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. All right? There's a captivity that's in this world. It's why we get saved and we move towards Christ, because it's still all around us. And if we don't turn resolutely to Him, we will fall right back into it every single time, because Satan is just waiting to pick those strings back up in our life. All right? Because I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, and that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. What is it that God ever told us to do that's not good? You look through all His commandments, all of them, they're good. They're just, they work out. Even if you just, as mankind, just look at them and say, well, you know, whoever this God is, we're just going to do these things. This would be a happy place to live. It would be a blessed place to live. Whatever nation would do that and make that their rules, there's going to be a difference there. All right? So I confess that the law is good. Now then, it's no more I do it. So there must be something else that's pulling me back into this cycle over and over, that's picking up these strings. How do I get free of this? How is it that I keep getting pulled back into the situation? For I know that in me, that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's got to be something different, because in my mind I'm thinking, this is not the way I want to live. I don't want to keep falling back into this place. So there must be something besides me, and there is. It's called sin, and it's called Satan. All right? It says, I find the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Somebody's picking back up the strings in my life over and over. How do I stop this? How do I keep this from happening? I go and I try to do right, I try to do it, but then I find myself back in the same hole. That is the captivity that's in this world. But there's something that can set you free from that. All right? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus. All right? And we've heard this verse, but I want you to hammer it back in your minds tonight and realize that until you turn resolutely toward Him, Satan will keep picking this up. Maybe let me say it this way. So we see that, we're like, oh, thank the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to go get saved. All right, so I get saved and I just hang out. I was like, okay, that's taken care of. And all of a sudden, I'm finding struggles again in my life. Or I get saved and I'm after the Lord for a while and I stop and I find these struggles. It's because the law is still there. Satan's still around us to pick up the strings if we're given the opportunity. And the only way we don't is by this man Jesus. So that means I have to pursue after Him, or else I will fall back into the same holes. That's why, I don't know how many ministers have said, read the Bible, pray every day. Basically that message. Spend time with the Lord. You can do a whole lot of things, and if you don't do that, you're going to be Satan's picking up the strings again in your life. If you don't have that commitment to God, that determination to have a relationship with Him, to get up and spend time in His Word and pray with Him and pursue after Him, to know who He is and follow Him in the directions He's taking you in your life, well, you will fall prey again to Satan. And he will pull the strings, and that's why it's happening. This is the crux of the message tonight. To get a hold of us, not just thinking about how do I get free from sin, but how do I stop falling back into it? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, but I did it. That means go after Him. Go after Him. You went after Him. That's what got you saved. Now don't sit there and just hang out. Go after Him, Lord. Turn resolutely in His direction in every way in your life. but I've got to handle this thing. Okay, sure. Go handle your job. Go handle this career. Go handle, well, I can't go there. I feel like the Lord wants me to do that thing, but I can't because I've got to do this. Okay, go take care of it. Pretty soon your hands will be doing this. You're just putting the strings back in Satan's life. I'm telling you, sometimes we're too casual about this. Especially in a place where it's been established for so long. I'm a part of it now. Everything's okay. Why am I still having trouble? Because all the people around you, for all they want to, can't pull me and drag you to heaven. You're going to have to turn resolutely towards the Lord, because He's the only place you will find freedom. And if you're continuing to handle this thing and this thing and this thing, or still say, well, I like being here, but I'm going to still take part in this thing or this thing. Breaking hearts all around you, but there's nothing anybody can do. It's going to take you deciding to come after the Lord for it to make a difference in your life. You know, it says, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, has a verse there that I wanted to just pick out real quick before we get to our final little section here for tonight. And it says, 4:8, wherefore he saith, well, let's just start back. Let's get back to this. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. This word captivity captive means he captured captivity. There's nobody else who's ever done this. All right? The captivity that blankets this world, Jesus captured it. He took it and led it away captivity and is standing holding you freedom. He can cut the strings. But you're going to have to come after him. You're going to have to pursue him because he's the only one that has that freedom for you and extended it. You're not going to be able to possess it in yourselves. Don't misunderstand this personal salvation. It doesn't mean that you possess anything in and of yourself. You possess whatever freedom you have because of Christ. Because he's the only one that has taken that captivity away. And if you keep playing with the world, you're going to fall victim to it again. You're going to just go the way that it's going. Because it's not the world that's doing it to you. It's Satan. And you're giving him the chance to pick those strings back up, to make it his volition now, to take you captive at his will, and to do whatever he feels like doing in your life. Your decision. Are you going to just hang out, or are you going to turn resolutely toward him? Romans 6 chapter. It says, we're going to just pick a few verses through here. The sixth verse says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. This was his plan. He set up, he led captivity captive, so that he could destroy sin. All right? And we're crucified with him that sin might be destroyed, that man of sin might be destroyed in our life. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Dropping to the 12th verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You get saved and you just hang out. You're not following through on what the Lord has taught us to do. There's other verses besides this that will tell you that you have been freed from sin to be a servant to righteousness. If you're not going to serve righteousness, if you're not going to pursue after him, then you're going to fall right back into the other servitude that you had. The one where someone else was pulling the strings and you couldn't figure out what was going on. All right? Yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Dropping down to the 16th verse. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Huh? What do you mean? No, I just was sorry for my sins and I wanted to be forgiven from them. It's not the way this works. It don't work that way. You got to move. If you're still just hanging out in this world, well, then you're under Satan's control. He's going to take you right back captive, okay? You became servants of righteousness. All right, drop into the 20th verse. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things are death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn resolutely towards God, towards Christ, towards righteousness, towards heaven. That's the secret. That's the missing link. If you've been coming and struggling with some things and trying to figure out what's going on, turn towards God. And I know that, let the Lord help you understand what that means in your life, maybe completely. But that's the missing link. In Christ, we have all the freedom we need, the strength, the power, the victory. But it takes us being determined that that's the way I'm going to go. God bless you tonight. Be determined. 100%. Not 98. Not 97, because Satan don't need very much of a string to pull you where he needs you to go. 100%. Lord, if you're not pleased with it, I'm not going to do it. Lord, if you want me to do it, then I'm going to do it. You know what? When your heart is set that way, you're going to be successful in the Lord. You pray for me.